From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Washington is ranked among the most dangerous states in the country, according to a new study. Only problem is that study's 2 years old. Thanks, Tacoma News Tribune. It's a little unusual. The Supreme Court hears Trump's absolute immunity claim, which, again, is a very unusual claim for a president to make. You know, it's not unusual, though. On a Thursday afternoon, Mr. John Curley.
Gentlemen, ladies, and I mean that with all due respect.
It's taken. Thank you, John, sir.
Yeah.
John, did you read this article from the... Of course you did, because I sent it to you, and I asked you to read it.
Yes.
The study is 2 years old. It's from 2020 to 2022, and the Tacoma News, they're acting as if... This is by Rosemary Montevallo. It's not new. It is not a new study. It is an old study, right? So I don't understand how, with a straight face, you could say that this is in any way, shape, or form a proclamation as to the current state of Washington. I think that it's kind of an unfair piece, but I'm curious what your read of it is, my friend.
Well, I looked, because you always have to figure who's doing the studies. So I saw these guys, Cimarron Law Group. And they release studies every year about drunk driving and other things like that. So I don't know where they got all their numbers from. But the numbers, they're saying that we're the most dangerous state in the United States, or I think New Mexico's number one.
Yeah, they came in seventh, list. I think, or eighth, yeah.
Yeah, so we're way up there. And, you know, I don't know how much it's varied since there. The Wall Street Journal's got an interesting piece today. They say if they tell you the crime is down, you have to ask to see the data, because there's a lot of different cities and states that don't report to the FBI like they used to.
Right.
They don't. So the data is all kind of messed up. So you really can't give you a true reading of what is really the real metrics that we're judging any of this stuff by.
My concern is basically this, John, is that people will take this headline, because it's not even news. It's a headline, right? It's not even really something to analyze outside of the fact that it is a bad headline. And they're going to run with it, and it's going to contribute to the way that they view their state or the way that they view their country, without realizing that in some places in Washington, it's very, very safe. In other places in Washington, you're much more likely to get robbed or have your car broken. Even in this city, right? Even in Seattle.
Better neighborhoods than others, you bet.
East Lake's pretty good neighborhood, right?
Yep.
When I go up to Capitol Hill, I got to use my tailor pocket so that nobody steals my phone, right? This is like, when you just blanket kind of studies like this, or these blanket kind of generalized statements, I think that it contributes to people's neuroses, people's discontent with the community that they live in, and it gives them a false picture of reality in general in Washington State.
Well, you want to reinforce bias. I mean, that's what news is not in the business of giving you the news anymore.
Hot take from John Curley. Save that drop, by the way.
Yeah. They're advocates.
Are you
They're
an advocate,
there to persuade
John?
You.
Are you? Do you?
I'm not a journalist. I've never claimed to be a journalist. I don't know if there's any journalists out there anymore. But no, I'm just a guy that gets paid to give his opinions on the radio, as my late father said, only in America.
Right? Didn't he also say? What else did your dad? You told me this one time. Your dad, they're paying you to talk. Is that what they're doing?
Infotainment, Dad. Infotainment.
Right, exactly. Good stuff.
Do you ever come across these kinds of stories, John? Do they frustrate you as much as they frustrate me? Because I do this for a living, and so I have to read these studies, and I have to look at the data, and I find this to be deeply disappointing, because I know that there are contemporaries of mine out there that will take this, and they'll run with it, and they'll misrepresent it to their listening audience. And
crime is up in the state of Washington. I don't know where we are in the rank. I can tell you that we have less people in prison. I can tell you we have an increase in crime. We have less juveniles in prison. We have less police in the streets of Seattle. I mean, that's pretty evident that we have got more crime because we have less police. So, you know, you can mod podge those numbers any way you want. But again, it's your own perspective of how you feel, life around you is. If you've recently been a victim of crime, you're highly aware of it. It's a confirmation bias. I was going to go out and buy a red Honda. You drive down the road. Oh my God, look at all the red Hondas. That's confirmation
exactly
bias.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Where do you fall on the side of the juvenile incarceration thing, John? Because everybody gets upset at me whenever I give my take, and I figured it'd be nice to maybe balance out people's palate.
I got way into that rabbit hole on it. I wanted to find states across the United States that had the lowest recidivism rate, and it was South Carolina. But then I see what other programs, because they said there's only two programs. We're going to do restorative justice, or we're going to put them in jail. So this study showing a lower recidivism rate if you don't put them in jail. Well, of course, because they're not in jail. But do they go back to jail? I don't think the restorative justice Avenue works as it is right now. I think they need to sort of fine tune that a little bit more, but South Carolina has an interesting combination. Yes, they catch more. Yes, they put more juveniles in prison, but they have more programs inside that prison to hopefully the kids become literate and hopefully they get some sort of journey back out again. But just simply the judge going, well, yeah, you shot him, but you know what? Your grandmother seems like a decent woman. So here's an ankle bracelet, head on home and go shoot somebody else in a couple of weeks. That doesn't work.
And that's not a joke, by the way, from John, because that actually happened in this state. And it was pretty sad state of affairs that you had somebody who was released on his own recognition. Well, no, he's released to his grandmother.
Because they thought that the family unit was the answer to the situation.
Right.
It turned out the guy was just broken.
That's my issue with Ferguson's idea that you're going to take these kids and you're not going to put them in a juvenile detention center, and instead you're going to put them in residential neighborhoods in group homes. And I'm just thinking to myself, Ferguson, like...
Your neighborhood, Bob. Not my neighborhood, Bob.
You know, there was a piece of data that was released by Stanford where they were talking about the incarceration systems that work best for youths. And what they found was that places that were camp-oriented, where it was not necessarily like a work camp.
No, I hear you.
The kids are responsible for doing dishes, cleaning up the space that they live in, where they have mandatory school hours, mandatory therapy hours. Those tend to have the best results for specifically young men because they're out of doors and they are literally working all day long and they're sticking to a schedule, which is exactly what young men need, right? They also had art programs and things
like
that.
Well, John said education programs, you know, and counseling and mental health care.
I'll tell you, former President Donald Trump is probably going to be getting a lot of that because his Supreme Court decision was they're hearing oral arguments.
Oral
argument today.
on the last day of the session.
You think anything suspicious about that, John? Anything? Because Spike over here thinks that it's unbelievably suspicious that on the last day of oral arguments they agree to hear Trump's immunity claim case, which has already been seen by an appellate court. Do you think it's suspicious, conspiratorial?
No, they sometimes, I guess, what order they're going to take the things in. Sometimes they take the big ones last. And the big thing is, will the two pieces they have, do they kick it back down and decide not to rule on it? Or do they take it? Actually, it's three. Kick it back down and say, we're not going to do anything. Kick it back down and ask for more study. Or do they say, we'll rule on this and that's going to come later on. And probably most likely Jack Smith doesn't get to put him on trial before the election.
That was, you know, what's funny. I've evolved on this.
I don't know. Hand motion you just did, Spike, wasn't exactly
that
the
was
most
my, that
involved.
Was doing the Trump.
No, you were.
I was doing the two guys Trump move.
That hand motion you were doing is not exactly PG or even PG-13.
That's why I did it below camera. Thanks for bringing the attention to the audience, smart guy. So let me tell you how I've evolved on this.
Okay.
I think that President Trump is availing himself of our legal system with which he should be. And I think that the Supreme Court should kick this back down to the Circuit Court of D.C., to Judge Chutkan, because to say that the president has no immunity whatsoever is an overreaching decision. The same thing that the appellate court, which I was 6 months ago when they did this, or 4 months ago when they did this, I was all for it. No, nobody should be above the law. But the Supreme Court's right. There are actions of the president that should be immune from prosecution because they're officially actions of office of the presidency. Harry Truman drops a bomb on Japan. You can't take him to trial afterward, no matter how much evidence you have.
Harry Truman did worse. Harry Truman, that is an act of war, right?
Right.
We already declared war. But Harry Truman also went after a steel mill in Pittsburgh, and forced them to produce the steel. And that he wasn't allowed to do that. And then Abraham Lincoln with a habeas corpus during the Civil War, which basically says that you don't get a right to be able to say, hey, I was falsely accused. He suspended that. Now, that's against the law as well. Then the Constitution found that the Supreme Court found that Harry Truman had violated the Constitution. And obviously, Abraham Lincoln did as well. But you weren't going to bring him up from trial later on for that. You know, the president has this power because he has to act this way. He has to be able to act with somewhat outside the bounds in order to do what he or she feels they need to do without the fear that, oh, I'm going to be taken to trial and thrown in jail. So the Supreme Court has to be careful because, yeah, maybe they try to just single this out just for Trump. But don't forget, this will have effect on every single president after him.
Well, a lot of the justices are saying just that. Gorsuch and Alito are saying, we're not worried about this case at all. We're talking about the future of the presidency.
Right.
And that they should decide which are official actions of the office of the president or which are private actions, like candidate Trump as opposed to President Trump.
Sure. Well, okay, let's use the Abraham Lincoln suspending habeas corpus during the Civil War, because that's a really interesting case. Basically, it came down like this. There were Southerners who were going around who were messing with the railroad ties, basically, blowing them up, digging holes, whatever it is, trying to disrupt the flow
of supplies,
material, human beings. And so there was such a huge volume of them. It was such an issue that Abraham Lincoln said, you know what? I'm suspending your rights to due process. If you are found doing this, it is a guilty verdict immediately, and we're removing you out immediately into a prisoner of war camp.
Correct.
He did that for 4 years, or excuse me, he did that for 3 years. And so you look at something like that and you might say, well, that's in his interest as the president of the United States. But that technically makes him a fascist, right? That the suspension of due process.
That's right.
People look back at Abraham Lincoln with these like really glowing, oh, he's one of the greatest presidents of our time. He got rid of slavery. Yes, good thing. He did awful, terrible things to human beings in order to achieve that. Have you looked at the way Southerners were kept? And there's camps that were designed for 2,000 people, holding 8,000 people. I mean, there are instances in which presidents should be held accountable. I'll give you guys a contemporary example. You've got Barack Obama, his history of drone strikes, which he was doing like he was like gangbusters with those drones.
Yes, he was.
Couldn't get enough of them. The amount of citizens, U.S. citizens that were killed by drone strikes is enough to bring Barack Obama up on charges, right? Because he had to be the one to sign that document to say, yes, go bomb that 14-year-old.
Agreed.
He used to look at the list every Monday or Sunday. They would give him the list of which ones he wanted to go get. And he caught an American citizen who was over there, and I think the guy's father was involved somehow, but that guy got caught and killed as well. So
yeah,
that's an office, that is an exercise of the office of the presidency
to kill citizens.
Well, to wage war on an enemy who declared
to kill citizens without due process. That's a tricky, it's a slippery slope you got there, Spike.
I'm not
O'Neil.
Saying it's easy. It's why those guys get paid so long, have lifetime appointments.
Okay,
right?
Okay, so it's within the office of the president to bomb and kill a 14-year-old U.S. citizen.
I'm not going to go there with you.
Why? Well, you just did, dude. You just made the assertion.
The point is that. So we haven't declared war. I understand that. And that's another thing that you could get Obama on and Bush on and even Clinton on this stuff. You didn't declare war. You bypassed all that stuff. Did a sort of separate, you know, kinetic action kind of crap that they were still working under. Obama was after 2001. But the big picture is this. Is the president above the law in some regards? Yes. And they have written this thing called impeachment, right? For high crimes and misdemeanors. So you can get him out. So when Judge Jackson says, well, I guess could he just kill someone, shoot and kill someone while he's president? No, you high crimes and misdemeanors. You could impeach him for that if you wanted. So
that's assuming a partisan Congress would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's a heavy assumption in my assessment, John, is that if you have somebody, the example that I like goes like this. Let's say that President Biden decides that Donald Trump is an enemy of the state, being that he attempted to subvert democracy through violent means. I'm not saying that he did, but let's just say that Joe Biden says that.
Right.
And thus Donald Trump.
Proven.
Right. So, but Donald Trump needs to be removed forcibly from his home in Mar-a-Lago, and he needs to be immediately put into Guantanamo because he is a terrorist, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially, if the ruling goes a certain way, Joe Biden is within his power to do that extra judicial activity, right? And that's what I find to be concerning about it.
Sure. Would he do it? He's not doing it directly, but certainly he's helping Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith. Yeah. I mean, yes, of course they are. They don't want him to run. They feel he's a threat to
democracy. Why? He's lost every race he's run.
I mean, I think they do want him to run.
So by any means necessary, destroy him.
I don't know.
By any means necessary, destroy him.
John, I think they do want him to run, which is why I think that they were sandbagging all the other candidates, right? I mean, like, if you look at the amount of attention that was given to the other candidates, someone like DeSantis was polling ahead of Biden for many, 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 many months. And then all of a sudden, he started getting just sandbagged by the media. Even Fox News started sandbagging the guy, pointing out every goof, every gaffe. I'm not some kind of fan of DeSantis in any way, shape, or form, but I can read I've been in media long enough to know when there's a clear campaign to try to discredit a presidential candidate, and that most certainly happened to DeSantis.
There's a difference between running and limping. They want him to be limping into this. So they're using up all of his money to make him defend himself. They're going to hope that enough people think he's so unbelievably tarnished that Biden can stumble his way back in there and act like he's president for another couple of years or another year the Amendment 25th on him.
John, you think these are all politically motivated?
Absolutely.
So you have no faith in the investigatory system? You have no faith in the appellate court? You have no faith in the grand jury system?
No.
Really?
No.
You think
even if you look at the case, like Alvin Bragg's case, Alvin Bragg is not allowed to charge and Alvin Bragg is not allowed to prosecute under federal rules. He's not. He's in the state. So even when he's talking to the jury, he's using the word conspire. The word conspire was never used before the grand jury. And every time he uses the word conspire, the judge, if the judge had any sort of spine or morals, would correct him and say, that's not this case. This case is not about conspiracy. That is not what the grand jury heard, and that's not what the grand jury ruled. So please stop using the word conspiracy. But he has used it numerous times in the courtroom. So the jury starts to go, I guess this is about a conspiracy case. But the judge is in on this, and Alvin Bragg is in on this, and they're just hoping to dent him as much as possible. They hate him so much, they have to do whatever they can to possibly destroy him. So that's what they got. And you're right, Jack. I mean, now everything comes out. They wanted to clear the other guys. Media doesn't want anybody else to do well. They wanted to be Trump, Biden, and now they've got it. So here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Curley.
It was something positive. I like Jack's hair.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
I like Spike's beard.
I was thinking about going over and have my own natural hair start growing back.
You mentioned it.
Fine people.
425-449-8185. That's 425-449-8185. $250 off and 250 for hair grafts.
That's how a pro does it.
Check out the board at AfterPetualsAdvancedHair.com.
That's how a pro does it.
I got to go to Advanced Hair, man. I'm getting a little thin up top. I got to take care of that.
Yeah.
Take a really quick break. When we get back, Mickey Gomez coming into the studio because Mickey Gomez has been working on a series of pieces on teens and the internet and how absolutely teenagers should not be on the internet. And here's another example of it. It's called Sextortion. We talked about a couple instances of this, but Mickey's got our most recent piece on this coming up when we get back right after this. Forget, we have a YouTube channel called The Jack and Spike Show, which you can go and subscribe to, where we do digital exclusive content. Sometimes it's Spike and I, sometimes it's Jacob Rummel and I, because Spike forgets his phone and he's got to go home to the missus. Am I right or am I right there?
Old age is a curse, my friend. I hope you get to suffer through it someday.
And a blessing.
It is.
Mickey Gomez is in the studio. Mickey, you've got teens, which is why I imagine you've done several pieces now on the how the internet is just a veritable, it is a nightmare for children.
It can be.
This is a chaotic environment. We've talked at length about the different things that your kids have experienced online, making online friends, also having online dangers. It's almost like Peter and the Wolf. Do you know what I mean? It's very, very symphonic, very dramatic.
That's a great analogy.
In so many ways. So we're talking today about sextortion. So how does it break down, Mickey?
Break it
down for us.
So, you know, last month we did report that online sex crimes against Washington kids is up by 200% from last year.
Yep.
And, you know, Seattle police are saying the reason why is because children as young as 7 are online. Well, Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, has added guardrails to protect teen accounts. I spoke to spokesperson Lori Moylan, and she tells me that they want to prevent salacious pics from being viewed.
The tools that we're introducing will automatically blur those images.
Yeah. So if you're a teen and you're online, IG, teens are mostly on Instagram nowadays.
Wow.
So if you get a DM and you have a teen account, it will be blurred out, and you'll have to go through what Meta is calling friction before you can actually see the picture. So it'll ask you, do you really want to see this picture? Do you know who's sending you this picture? Do you really want to see this picture? Okay, and then hopefully it'll make the teens second you know, think twice before opening it up and seeing that pic.
That's one of the hardest things, is to know who your kid's actually interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids are often fall victim to people who are ill, you know, adults elsewhere pretending to be teenagers.
What?
And give this casual conversation. One thing, let me send you a pic from somebody's file footage, and it's a picture of a young kid in a compromised nude picture.
Really?
And then your kid sends back a picture to them, and all of a sudden they've got you.
That's how sextortion definitely works.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not being facetious at all. I had no idea that people were doing that. Mickey, you're looking at me like I'm being facetious.
I thought you were being facetious too. No, this is happening a lot. As a matter of fact, Psychology Today is calling it a global crisis, especially amongst our young boys. They're the ones who are being targeted. And the reason why they say that our young boys are being targeted is because men in particular are pretty comfortable with online dating and being more vulnerable online. So here's what happens. A young boy is on the internet. He's in his direct messages, right? He's in his DMs. Somebody that he thinks goes to a school near him messages him. It's a cute girl. And he's getting involved in this conversation. The cute girl sends a suggestive photo, if you will, asks the teen boy to send the same type of photo. Once that photo is sent and he sends that photo, that is when the conversation dangerously takes a turn. The sextortion begins, and companies like Meta are really fed up with it and are trying to prevent this type of thing from happening.
This is a weird dark side of humanity that I was completely unaware.
It's horrible.
My thought about it was that you just had weirdos who were soliciting people for pictures. I didn't realize that they were scheming.
They're catfishing, pretending to be someone they're not.
Wow.
They're peers. You know, and I hate to say this, but, you know, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had that story a couple months ago where he and his son both had the apps on their phones.
Covenant eyes.
Right? I mean, I'd like to know if I'm a parent of a kid with a teenager with a social media account, I'd like Meta to go a step further. Don't just blur the image on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
When the kid wants to go through the friction and unblur an image, I should get a notice on my phone.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
My kid's trying to jump through some hoops to see some skin.
Mickey, what do you do to protect your kids, if I can ask?
So what we have are, we make sure that when our kids say, hey, can I get on Instagram? I said no. But now the pressure, I feel the peer pressure from my kids. So I allowed my daughter to have an IG account, and we put the special parameters on that account. We make sure that Meta knows how old my daughter is, because sometimes what happens is that kids make these accounts and they say that they're older than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, there's no guardrails. Mm-hmm. So you have to say, hey, my daughter is 13. And then at that point, you put the parental control into place. You do get notified. You do get, you know, no more IG after a certain hour, after 10 o'clock, things like that.
Their accounts go through you as a parent.
Exactly.
As they should.
Yeah. But what happens is that a lot of parents don't know that their kids have these accounts.
Right.
And they're online and, well, they're seeing sexually explicit content, unfortunately.
This reminds me, I got to raise my kids on an island somewhere away from all technology.
Well,
it's going to be like, what was that movie from the 70s where the kids end up on the, you know what movie I'm talking about? Where it's the weirdo movie where they end up, it's the Blue Lagoon. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Right. Blue Lagoon? Really?
Is that the movie?
Yeah, no.
Is it?
No, what's the movie where the two, it's the mom.
A boy and a girl? Swiss Family Robinson.
No,
it's a boy and a girl, and the mom, they crash.
Apocalypse Now?
No, it's the one, Back to the Future. It's the one where the mom is shipwrecked and they end up on an island.
Tarzan.
This
is so much fun.
And so then, you don't have to move to an island, okay, Jack? Yeah. Here's the deal.
I'm moving to an island to get away from O'Neill.
Okay, well, listen. Meta is constantly working to protect its users, especially teens. And here's what Moylan said.
Just in the second half of last year, we took down 21,000 groups and 37 different networks of people that we thought were engaged in some form of exploitation on the platform.
And check this out.
So now if we just suspect that you as an adult account are engaged in a suspicious behavior that may be sextortion, we will start limiting the ways in which you can interact with people that you don't know.
Which means if a flagged user tries to message a teen, Meta's not going to allow it.
It was Blue Lagoon, by the way. 1980, romance adventure, Brooke Shields, Christopher Atkins, Elva Josephson.
Right, but it wasn't a mom. It was the guy, the captain of the ship or the chef or something like that, who was shipwrecked with them. That's why I was thrown off. I'm like, like, who's the mom? Swiss Family Robinson.
No, it's in the late Victorian period. Two yes. cousins, 9-year-old Richard and 7-year-old Emile Lestrange and mm-hmm. galley cook Patty Button.
It is.
We're all wrong and right at the same time.
You ever have a movie called Nim's Island, which you never would have heard of, right?
I don't think so.
It's Gerard Butler who plays this scientist dad who raises his daughter alone on this island. I think, what's the name? Abigail Breslin was a little kid. It was a cute little kid movie, mm-hmm. but it's exactly what you want. The kid only gets what you want to give the kid. Kid's a genius. Kid's reading, you know, encyclopedias and yada, 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 but protected, isolated from the dangers.
That's what I needed to
do. Hey, listen, if your child is the victim of a sex scam, do not send the money. Save the online interaction. And most importantly, report it immediately to the FBI. We do have this story up on mynorthwest.com. Click on traffic and then Mickey, because it's already been up there for a couple of days. So now it's on my page. And unfortunately, I know three teens who have been the victims of sextortion. All boys.
It's such a great write-up, though, Mickey, because it's literally every piece of detail anybody would ever want to know. It's mm-hmm. concise. It's on mynorthwest.com.
Thank you.
The title of which is Sextortion is Trapping Our Teens, but one major company is working on it. You can go ahead and read that for tips and tricks as to how to talk to your kid and how to avoid this kind of stuff. Mickey Gomez, thank you so much for your time. Blue Lagoon was the answer to the question.
I'm going to go watch that tonight. Well, on the plane as I head out.
I'm going to seethe. I'm going to put it on rotation in my home. I'm just going to have it playing nonstop, and I'm just going to stare into the middle distance and seethe the whole time. Speaking of, by the way, there's a new restaurant that wants a second location in Washington, and every time I type in Washington State News, I get this story.
I can't believe
it's
this
not getting, news.
It's not.
It's Blue Lagoon 1980 is what it is.
We'll take theme restaurant.
We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. Our YouTube channel. Videos released every day, 3 and 5 p.m., sometimes even 9 a.m., or randomly 7 p.m., but
really?
Thankfully, I got that under control.
Oh, good for
I
you.
Solved that
Thank
little
you,
problem
buddy.
With a nice little email. My blood sugar drops, and then I become delirious. Have I ever told you about this medical affliction that I have?
I've heard you talk about it.
That's why I have my blood sugar bar. Okay. Which I did not eat today, which means it is now an hour and 50 minutes past when I should have eaten it, Spike, and I am now delirious because my blood sugar has dropped so low.
If only I had a tasty, fresh burger.
If only we had a tasty, fresh burger that I could just grab in and out. Don't even need to stay, right?
Right.
The fact that people are freaking out about In-N-Out Burger makes me deeply upset, especially in Washington State, because every day for my job, what I do is I sit down at a computer and I type in Washington State News,
mm-hmm.
and then I hit enter. I wait for Google search results, and what have I seen for the last 4 or 5 days? Top story, In-N-Out Burger considering a second location in Washington State.
You sure it's not an ad that's popping up?
I am convinced that In-N-Out Burger has rested on its laurels of being a mid-tier burger for about the last 30 years. It's really not that good. It's a regular hamburger. It's got Thousand Islands dressing on it. Big bada boom. Let's all move on with our lives, right?
I like how they wrap them. That's kind of cool.
That's sweet.
In the half paper,
they
right?
They got nice milkshakes,
yeah,
but it's
okay.
not exactly a A-tier burger.
How did it get so big?
Because they did the thing that people do where we're only in California and Arizona.
Oh, right.
You can only get it here. And then all of a sudden now they're expanding, franchising, going all over the place. The fact that there are living, breathing human beings who are excited about and or planning when they shall be going to this In-N-Out Burger and now potentially the second location in Vancouver, Washington, this is the downfall of society. This will end us all. This will wreck us all. And we need to stop. We need to stop immediately.
I can honestly tell you that upon previous visits to the Arizona metro area, the Phoenix metro area,
mm-hmm.
because we had family down there,
mm-hmm.
That the missus would make a plan, would be excited about going to get a damn In-N-Out Burger. Bringing me home a t-shirt.
Yeah, so I used to live in California. They got In-N-Out Burgers all over the place.
Right,
it's like seagulls. You can't go anywhere without seeing In-N-Out
Burgers. That's a better analogy I was going to make.
So everybody's In-N-Out Burger. We got to go to In-N-Out Burger. And I'm like, okay, it's really not that good. Oh, we got to go. And then we go. And then, oh, my God, it's amazing. Thousand Island dressing is, quote unquote, amazing. It's not, right? I mean, it's like what Dick's Burgers does, right? Tartar sauce on a burger? Who would have ever thought of such a thing? This is our fixation on caloric intake is craziness. It's insane. Like, it's basically you're eating starch because you get the potatoes.
Yeah.
And then the bun, what is that? Basically, you're loading yourself up with more starch.
Yes, you are.
You might
get
a slice of a veggie. Just a slice of tomato.
Slim tomato in there, yeah.
Little bit of the old lettuce.
Which is wasteful. It's just water.
Pretty much, yeah, right?
Water.
You might get a little bit of, you might get some vitamin something from the onion, maybe.
Maybe.
But if you cook it, maybe not so much. And then you get a paper thin patty. And then a paper-thin thing of cheese, and then it's drenched in Thousand Island dressing, and people will literally kill each other in order to get an advanced spot in the drive-through lane or in the restaurant.
Okay.
And then they call they don't even address you as a human being when your order is ready. 37, 49.
Oh, no.
My name is Jack. I'm not a number. I'm a human being.
So to you made it clear that it's because it's the... It's unavailable, right? It's only in California. It's only in Arizona.
Right.
How many do we have to have in Washington where it won't be an issue anymore?
None.
Let's just get there. No, let's get 27 of them.
You're not welcome
So it's
here.
Not news anymore.
Right.
Right? So it's not a big deal. So there's no line around
sure,
the block.
Right. Have you ever been to a Bannigan's?
Yeah, but it's eons ago, right?
But it's an East Coast thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's an Applebee's
right.
on the other coast, right?
But when you take West Coast people over to the East Coast and they go, a Bannigan's, what's that? You go, oh, it's like a Denny's. They go, oh, we have to go in there. Yeah. No, you don't. You know exactly what it's like,
yeah.
right?
No, you don't have
We
to
have
there.
This weird thing with calories that people are just like, they have a sickness and a disease yeah, that they need to stop.
Food is celebrated in this country and far to our demise.
Celebrate good food.
So is
right?
diabetes. Right. Yeah.
Andrew, A+ today, my friend. Good job. Nate Connors.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Dang, is that a fitted Cairo radio?
Yeah.
Is that the zip up or is that the... Dang.
Yeah, long sleeve, yeah.
Do that again with the arms.
Better watch out with those biceps.
They get more and more fitted around the tummy these days.
Well, that and the biceps.
You're right. The biceps are natural.
That is unbelievable, Nate Connors. Nora, A+, thank you so much for filling in for Laura. Spike, give me solid C+ today.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah.
Solid C+. Here's your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Plays on this. I prefer cheese, bro.
Okay, the cheese, the big cheese.
Dang it. Why can't we have nice things? Cheese, bro, is funny, right?
It really is.
Cheese, bro.